Well, please turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 as we think about especially verses 38 to 42 together. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Several years ago, a man named Charles Hummel wrote an article called The Tyranny of the Urgent. The Tyranny of the Urgent. Let me quote to you something of what he writes. He says, "Have you ever wished for a 30-hour day? Surely this extra time would relieve the tremendous pressure under which we live. Our lives leave a trail of unfinished tasks, unanswered letters, unvisited friends, and unread books haunt quiet moments when we stop to evaluate. We desperately need relief. But would a 30-hour day really solve the problem? Wouldn't we soon be just as frustrated as we are now with our 24 allotment? A mother's work is never finished, and neither is that of any student, teacher, minister, or anyone else we know. And so we find ourselves working more and enjoying it less. When we stop to evaluate, we realize that our dilemma goes deeper than a shortage of time. It is basically the problem of priorities. We sense uneasily that we have failed to do the important. We confess quite apart from our sins. We have left undone those things we ought to have done. And we have done those things we ought not to have done." Now, though written in 1967, I think that rings true with many of our lives, doesn't it? So often we can be busy, busy Christians, doing lots of things for God, so much so that we can forget the one thing that is needed. And this wonderful little story before us this morning in the Gospels, it's all about getting our priorities straight and keeping them straight. It appears nowhere else in the Gospels, this tale of two sisters, Martha and Mary. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. He's on the road to the cross. We read together in Luke 9:51. He resolutely set out for Jerusalem, or he set his face for Jerusalem. And as he's been travelling, he's been going from town to town and village to village, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming who he is. And in verse 38 of chapter 10, we read that they enter a village. And it says there, "A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." Here we meet Martha and her sister Mary. Now, they had a brother, Lazarus, as well. He's not mentioned in this story. This family, they loved Jesus. They wanted to serve Jesus and to honour Jesus. And it was a great privilege to have Jesus in their home. We must remember that everywhere Jesus went, he taught. When he went into a town, he taught. Every village he went into, he was teaching. And every house he went into, he taught. And so, what an opportunity. What an honour for Martha and Mary. Jesus is in their house. It's not every day that God visits your house. And so here they have the privilege to listen from the mouth of the God incarnate. But this was a privilege that one sister lost sight of. We know the story. Martha is soon busy making ready to entertain Jesus, whilst her sister Mary takes it easy, sitting at Jesus' feet. And I suspect most of us can relate to the anger that bubbles up inside Martha at the sight of her lazy sibling sitting at Jesus' feet. It's simply too much. And pushed to the limits, Martha does something unprecedented. She interrupts And she barges in, certain that Jesus will take her side in this. However, instead of applauding Martha, Jesus gently rebukes her, telling her that Mary has chosen what is better. Martha was too busy doing things for Jesus, so much that she missed out on the one thing that was needed, simply being with Jesus. And friends, there's a great danger we can fall into exactly the same mindset today. We can be so busy doing things for Jesus that we can miss out on simply being with Jesus. Men, this passage isn't just for the girls. It isn't just about cooking versus praying. It isn't about a busy life versus a life of contemplation. It's about the divided life versus the focused life. A life of frantic activity versus a life centered on knowing Jesus. And we are forced, this passage forces us to ask ourselves, in our service for Jesus, are we missing the one thing we desperately need? Are we missing intimacy with Jesus? So let's consider three things from this event in the life of Jesus. Firstly, Martha's distraction. Martha's distraction. We read, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Here's Martha, a big-hearted, generous, hospitable, hard-working lady. As Jesus comes in, she probably goes straight into the kitchen to begin preparing the meal. She's a servant's heart. She doesn't begrudge this. It's a gift of love to Jesus. I think we can assume that his disciples entered the house as well, and perhaps some of their neighbours. There's more than just Jesus. As time rolls on, she's doing so many things at once. Cooking the roast, making the mashed potatoes, setting the table, making swans out of napkins. All whilst Mary stays in the living room, listening while Jesus teaches. And Martha was distracted. The word distracted here, it means to be pulled away, to be dragged away from something. Mary was fussing in the kitchen. She was doing whatever needed to be doing. And she was pulled away. She was dragged away from what? Well, from being with Jesus. From listening to Jesus. She was dragged away, literally, with her much serving. She was all caught up, pulled away by the busyness of this preparation. Now, there's nothing wrong, of course, with hospitality. It's commanded and commended in Scripture. But in the process, Martha's priorities got completely twisted. God the Son was in her living room, teaching. Yet Martha is fussing in the kitchen, trying to get done what she wants done the way it needs done. So much so that she loses sight completely of the great privilege that she has. Now, as we've thought, most of us would sympathise with Martha. Probably there's a dozen hungry men here. Lots of work to be done. Several hours' work. And viewed from one perspective, Martha is being a responsible hostess. Let's not be too harsh on her. It's clear that she loves Jesus and she does what she does out of love for him. Her motives are pure, even if her attitude is not quite right. But friends, it's a fact she gets distracted with this serving. It's a fact that, as Jesus says, she's worried and bothered about so many things. Our priorities were wrong. Jesus says as much in verses 41 and 42. And friends, when we look at Martha and we wonder if her priorities are twisted, we have to look at our own lives and ask if our priorities are right. Our modern world, with all of its time-saving devices, has not eased the problem of time pressure, has it? We all feel it. We all face deadlines, whether it's preparing the evening meal, writing an essay, getting a report done for work, preparing for some important event, and we can get distracted. We can get distracted by our worries and by our cares. This can affect some personality types more than others. If you're more like Martha than Mary, then you'll need to be on your guard against it. Some people are prone to worry and fret over all sorts of things that others never even think about. Mary might have been thinking, I wonder if Jesus will like the roast beef. I wonder what's his favourite vegetable. Look at Mary sitting over there. I need her to come and help. We can get caught worrying and caught up with all the distractions. We can get caught feeling as though we must prove our love to Jesus by doing great things for him. And we can rush past the intimacy of the living room to get busy for him in the kitchen. We need to be on our guard. Friends, I know I need to be on my guard. There's a great temptation for me, and I think probably for every minister of the word, to rush over my devotions in the morning, to get straight into sermon preparation, to rush past the intimacy of the living room, straight to get busy in my kitchen. So pray for me in that respect. We need to be careful. We need to be on our guard. This fault of Martha should be a warning to all Christians. We must beware of the cares and distractions of the world. J.C. Ryle comments, "It is not open sin so much that leads men to eternal ruin. It is far more frequently an excessive attention to things in themselves lawful and being distracted by much serving. It is here where our danger lies, our families, our business, our daily callings, our household affairs. All may become snares to our hearts and may draw us away from God." Martha was drawn away from her Saviour. She was distracted. Martha's distraction. And secondly, we look at Mary. Mary's position. Mary's position. Verse 39. "Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said." Mary is listening to Jesus' every word. Not only was she listening to his word, but she was doing something remarkable for a woman to do. Most rabbis didn't allow this. She was seated at his feet. She was seated at Jesus' feet. A woman could learn in the back or in the women's section, but to come and to sit at Jesus' feet, actually to be as close as she could get. Mary's position indicated her intense interest in God and Jesus. She got as close as she could so as not to miss a word. Riveted to Jesus, sitting at his feet. I didn't know this before. It's perhaps significant. Every time we encounter Mary in the Gospels, Mary of Bethany, she is at Jesus' feet. Every time, three times. Here, the second time when her brother Lazarus has died, when she falls at Jesus' feet. in John 11:32. And then in John 12, when she anoints Jesus' feet with her hair. For Mary, it's all about being in the presence of Jesus, growing in love with Jesus, listening to Jesus, being taught by Jesus, enjoying his presence. It's all about sitting at his feet, this desire to hear his word. Her priority was intimacy with Jesus. And she's at his feet because she wants to hear every word he says, not because she wants to avoid the kitchen duties, like a child trying to get out of the dishes. She's there out of devotion. Her heart was with the Lord. And in verses 41 and 42, Jesus says that it is Mary who has chosen well. Mary has chosen what is better. In other words, Martha, there's a lot you can do, but there's something much more important. Martha, you could take all your to-do lists and you could combine them, but they're not as important as getting time with me. In other words, simply having time with Jesus is more important than great displays of service for him. We have to be careful. Sometimes the activity associated with ministry can prevent us from these important things, from sitting at Jesus' feet, from listening to Jesus. The disciple is to make sitting with Jesus a priority. We were singing from Psalm 99, verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Friends, a wonderful thing is that this morning the place that Mary found at Jesus' feet is the same place available to you and to me. How simple it is to sit at Jesus' feet. A child can do it. A mother can do it. A father can do it. A single adult can do it. A widow can do it. A teenager can do it. To sit at Jesus' feet. Anyone with a heart for Christ can sit at his feet. If you cannot sing or preach or speak or teach, you can still sit at Jesus' feet. You don't need to have money or an abundance of outward talents, but you can still sit at Jesus' feet. And we sit at his feet when we listen to him teach us through his word. And so all this morning who profess to be Christ's disciples, what place does Christ's word have in your life? What place does it have in your family life? Do you take time to sit at Jesus' feet? You busy mothers, you employers, employees, those of you who are busy in retirement even, students as you get back into studies, make time to sit at Jesus' feet. We must imitate Mary's position. Mary's position. So Martha's distraction. Then you've got Mary's position. And thirdly, Christ's admonition. Or Christ's rebuke. But admonition matched the other points better. So Christ's admonition. Martha is a bit annoyed with Mary. In verse 40, when it says that Martha came to Jesus, the translation obscures it a wee bit. It means something like Martha exploded out of the kitchen. She couldn't take it anymore and she marches up to Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left all the work to me? Tell her to help me. Lord, don't you care? My friends, do you hear that? What a thing to say to Jesus. Don't you care? Martha, do you know you're asking the one on whom you cast all your cares because he cares for you? Do you know the one that you're asking? You're asking him if he doesn't care? Of course he cares. That's why he came. We know without a doubt that he cares. And so in her anger and frustration, she's not only blaming her sister, but she's criticizing Jesus. Friends, we must be so careful. And how does Jesus respond? Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So gracious. Martha, Martha, there's tenderness there, isn't there? It's a rebuke, but it's a sympathetic rebuke. Martha, Martha, you're so worried, so bothered about so many things. He understands how she feels, and he understands her frustration. And even in these words of reproof, there's warmth and compassion. You can hear it, can't you? And he says this amazing statement. Only one thing is needed. What was that one thing? Well, it wasn't cooking. It wasn't cleaning. It wasn't doing stuff. But it was knowing God. Listening to Jesus. Leaving the kitchen long enough to experience the intimate fellowship of the living room. And friends, Jesus invites us to do the same this morning. He invites us to come and rest and to come and spend time with him in intimacy. His words to Martha are the words he wants to speak to your heart and mine. Put your own name there instead of Martha. Robert, Robert, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And the one thing isn't found in doing more. That's not the gospel. The one thing is found by sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us Martha's response to Jesus. You can see Jesus offering his hand, welcoming her to join Mary at his feet. What did Martha do, I wonder? Perhaps she stuttered her excuses, the dinner, her apron, her hair. Perhaps she withdrew chastened. Or perhaps, as she stood there, looking into her master's eyes, perhaps she sank to her knees and began to listen. We don't know. And perhaps this particular story is left unfinished to leave us room to determine our own response. What will we do? Will we bow to our knees? Or will we run back to what is familiar? Regardless of temperament, regardless of emotional preferences, all of us are called to this intimacy with Jesus. The one thing Martha needed is the one thing we need as well. And this sitting at Jesus' feet didn't just happen for Mary. She had to choose to do it. It doesn't happen accidentally, because there are too many other things, many of them good things, to crowd it out. It's not something you choose once for life and then you're settled. You have to keep choosing it over and over again, day in, day out, by saying no to other things so that you can say yes to this one necessary thing. And don't miss the final phrase of the text where Jesus declares that what Mary has gained will not be taken from her. What she gained, she would have forever. Meals come and go. You mothers will know that. You work for hours, maybe, to prepare a nice meal, and it's gone in minutes. But time with Jesus is yours forever. I'm sure Mary never forgot that wonderful day when she sat at Jesus' feet, drinking in every word. So the bottom line, Jesus says that sitting at his feet and listening to his word is the one necessary thing for those who follow him. It will not happen by accident. That's the one thing we need. Intimacy with Jesus. May God help us more and more to sit quietly at his feet. Amen.